Imagine being locked in your bathroom for a decade. It's that kind of an existence, but with being surrounded by violence and indifference and mental illness in the people around you.
Curtis McCarty is a man who has been broken. He'll tell you the same. He spent over 20 years in a state penitentiary in Oklahoma, most of it in a 9x9 jail cell.
And I had to get over that shock, that disbelief. I'm not supposed to be here, because nobody wants to hear that. That's where you live now. That's your home, and you better get busy building a life for yourself there.
In 1982, a woman named Pamela Willis was found dead. She had been raped and murdered. McCarty says he was an acquaintance of hers and was questioned immediately. He provided hair and DNA samples and was then released. He went back to his normal way of life.
I failed to learn a lesson from it and continued to live a life of addiction and petty crime, and the police knew it. So 3 years later, they had enough of me and heard a rumor that while it wasn't me that did it, because of the kind of crowd I ran with and stuff, that I might know who did. And in their frustration, they compelled me to give information that I didn't have, and it escalated, it got out of control, and before I knew what happened, I was charged with murder.
The forensic chemist who was assigned to his case has since been found to have fabricated her reports. During a sworn testimony during his trial, she stated that a hair sample from the scene of the crime matched those taken from McCarty. Because of that false evidence, he was found guilty and sentenced to death.
We were locked in our cage 23 hours a day. And you just sit there and do nothing. There's no programs, no services, no educational opportunities. You know, those type of resources are spent at the other end for men who are going to be returning to the community, who need job training and access to education. And so those kind of services aren't provided for death row inmates.
Years slowly passed for McCarty on death row. Then, in 2001, the forensic chemist who testified against him was fired over the mishandling of evidence in a different case. His lawyers seized this opportunity and were successful in getting his case reviewed once more. A collection of semen and a bloody fingerprint, which were absent in his trial 20 years prior, now indicated that McCarty had not been the one who raped and murdered Pamela Willis. Prosecutors dropped their case before a trial took place, and a judge released him. McCarty says he's angriest about what happened to the family of the victim, who lived their lives knowing the man who killed their family member is still out there somewhere.
He literally got away with murder. It's not just that the wrong person went, it's that the right person never will go.
Since his release in 2007, McCarty has moved to Nebraska. He says he still hasn't adjusted to the outside world. He enjoys keeping to himself, but he is involved in the Innocence Project, a group of over 100 other exonerated criminals. He is strongly opposed to the death penalty, even for those who are truly guilty. McCarty travels to different cities to share his story and advocate against capital punishment.
I have some pride in myself again, that I did something good and decent. I wasn't in a bar drinking. I wasn't in some flop house with my crazy friends doing drugs. I was at a church today, and I met beautiful people who are doing good things with their lives. I'm at a university today, and I saw all of these kids who have so much promise, and they're going to graduate.
A nondescript building along Main Street in downtown Wichita holds the office of attorney Jeffrey Wicks, who works with Kansas's death penalty defense team. He's one of three public defenders who are called when a capital murder charge has been issued in the state. This is his day job, but he's also an outspoken critic of the state's death penalty.
I can't tell you what the purpose is in having an outdated and outmoded form of punishment that every civilized country in the world save us has gotten rid of.
Wicks has a tough job. He not only defends his clients during their initial trial, but if they are found guilty, he then has to convince a jury not to put them to death. To do that, public defenders try to find answers as to why the individual committed the crime and what external factors led them to a jail cell.
You have to meet with people over and over and over because it takes a while to develop a rapport. I mean, you're not going to go meet your client's mom the first time and have her admit to you that every time he would cry as a child, she would put tequila in his bottle to make sure that he would go to sleep. It takes a while before she will finally admit, okay, I wasn't the best mom.
In 1972, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled the death penalty unconstitutional, but reversed that ruling 4 years later, allowing states to continue capital punishment under certain guidelines. It took until 1994 for Kansas to reinstate the death penalty here. There have since been 85 charges of capital murder and 13 convictions, 9 of which still stand. There have been no executions. Jeffrey Wicks says that's because of lengthy appeal processes. He says death row inmates spend decades in prison waiting on these appeals, and that life sentences would be a more effective way of dealing with capital murder cases.
In Kansas, we now have life in prison without parole. There is no mercy exception. The Department of Corrections cannot say, you are now 102 years old, you are bedridden, you have dementia, don't even know who you are anymore, we're going to move you to a nursing home. If you get a life without parole in Kansas, you will die in prison.
According to a report issued this year by the state of Kansas, a capital murder case where a death sentence is sought cost nearly four times that of a capital-eligible murder case where a death sentence is not sought. Just across the street from Jeffrey Wicks' office is the Sedgwick County Courthouse, where District Attorney Mark Bennett has his offices. He says the expense of capital murder cases come from procedural mandates from the U.S. Supreme Court. He says expense shouldn't be a factor when determining capital punishment.
If we're going to start making decisions based upon the cost to the taxpayers, I think we've cheapened justice. You know, there's a whole lot of ways we can make things cheaper. We'd just give everybody 2 or 3 years in the pen and nobody would fight it and we'd be done with things. I mean, I guess my point is cost should not be the driver of justice.
Bennett says he's handled four capital murder cases and has helped send someone to death row at El Dorado Correctional Facility. He says in order for a case to be considered capital murder, it must meet certain criteria, such as killing multiple people, committing a separate felony while murdering an individual, or killing a police officer in the line of duty. He says that as long as capital punishment is legal in Kansas, he will seek it for those who deserve it.
The prosecutors in the state that I know, we don't take a position on it. Our only position is if we're going to have it, then we're going to follow the law and impose it when it's appropriate. And if they want to take it off the books, okay. Then we'll go with life without parole or whatever else the state public policy deems appropriate.
Do you think any of the individuals that are on death row right now will ever be executed?
Don't know. That's to be determined, and again, that's, we'll have to see.
The nine inmates that are on death row in Kansas are all currently appealing their sentences. The most violent criminal in the history of Kansas, Dennis Rader, or the BTK killer, did not receive the death penalty. His crimes were committed before Kansas adopted capital punishment again in 1994. For KMUW News, I'm Sean Sandifer.